które zahrnujesz wezwiska na duszy i przemyk ludzi Boże na nim. W swojej własnej energii si stworzył tyto hmotné světy, abys umožnil všem živým bytostem tě poznat a odpoutat se tak od plnostných činností. Význam. Každý, ať už chce získat hmotný požitek, osvobození nebo transcendentální láskyplnou službu Pánu, by se měl klanět nejvyššímu Pánu, protože Pán může každému splnit jeho přání. Bhagavad Gita to potvrzuje. Yeyatha mam prapadyante. Každý, kdo si chce úspěšně užívat v hmotném světě, dostává potřebné požehnání od Pána. Každý, kdo se chce osvobodit ze zapletení z hmotného světa, získává osvobození od Pána a každému, kdo mu chce neustále sloužit v plném vědomí Krišny, dává Pán toto požehnání. Pro hmotný požitek předepsal ve Vedách mnoho obětních obřadů a lidé se tedy mohou řídit těmito pokyny a užívat života na vyšších planetách nebo ve vznešené aristokratické rodině. Postupy jsou dány ve vědecké literatuře a člověk jich může využít. Podobně jsou na tom ti, kteří touží po osvobození z hmotného světa. Člověk si nezačne přát osvobození, dokud není znechucen požitkem v hmotném světě. Osvobození je žádoucí pro bytosti znechucené hmotným požitkem. Vedanta Sutra proto říká Adhato Brahma Jigyasa, ti, kdo zanechali pokusů dosáhnout štěstí v hmotném světě, se mohou začít ptát na absolutní pravdu. Pro ty, kdo chtějí poznat absolutní pravdu, je zde Vedanta Sutra a také Srimad Bhagavatam, jakožto přímý komentář Vedanta Sutry. Bhagavad Gita je také Vedanta Sutra a skutečné poznání lze tedy získat pochopením Srimad Bhagavatamu Vedanty Sutry nebo Bhagavad Gita. Jakmile někdo získá skutečné poznání, teoreticky se sjednotí s nejvyšším a jakmile začne se službou Brahmanu nebo s vědomím Krišny, bude nejen osvobozen, ale navíc bude žít duchovním životem. Podobně pro ty, kdo chtějí panovat hmotné přírody, je zde mnoho oblastí hmotného požitku. Je zde hmotné poznání a hmotná věda a těm, kdo si chtějí takto užívat, dává Pán všechny možnosti. Závěr je, že pro jakékoliv požehnání má člověk uctívat nejvyšší osobnost božství. Slovo kámovaršam je velice důležité, protože vyjadřuje, že Pán plní touhy každého, kdo se na něj obrátí. Chová-li však někdo ke Krišnovi upřímnou lásku a přesto touží po hmotném požitku, nachází se v rozporuplném postavení. Krišna je k takové bytosti velice laskavý a dává jí příležitost věnovat se transcendentální lásky plné službě Pánu a tak postupně zapomenout na svoji halucinaci.
Tam tvánou buď jo porato kriátom. Svamaj javartita lokatantram namami obikšnam namanija pádá sorodzam alpíjasi kama varšam.
Neustále se s úctou klaním tým lotosovým nohám, které jsou ideálním útočištěm, protože zahrnuješ bezvýznamnou duši všemi druhy požehnání. Svojí vlastní energií si stvořil tyto hmotné světy, abys umožnil všem živým bytostem tě poznat a odpoutat se tak od plnostních činností.
Mukam kruti váčanam manam lanáji tegnim jat kvipitaram mandé shri grundi natanam. In the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that the absolute truth is one, but is described by great authorities in three aspects.
První se usímá Bhagavatam je řečeno, že absolutní pravda je jedna, ale velké autority ji popisují ve třech aspektech.
That verse is well known. Vedanti tatatva. Iti shabdate. So those are Brahman impersonal and Bhagavan.
Brahman, Paramatma a Bhagavan, nejvyšší osobnost božství.
Those three kinds of followers of the Vedas are the Karmis, the Gyanis, and the Bhaktas.
Tito tři druhy stoupenců Ved se jmenují Karmis, Yogis a Bhaktas. Gyanis a Bhaktas.
Mm-hmm. When we say Karmi, we're also including the Yogis, the Astanga Yogis who try to realize the Paramatma.
Když hovoříme o Karmi, tak to zahrnuje také yoginy, kteří se snaží.
Because Krishna says in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita that there are two levels of yoga. The lower level is karma, karma yoga. The higher level, then there's no karma. There's only meditation.
Krishna říká v Bhagavad Gita, že existují dva stupně yogi. První je karma a potom je dhyana.
So the karmis, karma yogis, they are aspiring for the blessings of the Paramatma, Lord Vishnu, who is in charge of the material world.
Karma yogis hledají požehnání Vishnu, Vishnua, který má starost hmotný svět.
The Parama Ishvara, the Supreme Lord, even among great demigods like Brahma and Shiva. And all these the demigods, 33 million demigods, it is said, they're his angas, his limbs. So the universal form of Vishnu is said to have thousands of heads and thousands of eyes and thousands of hands and thousands of legs. This is actually referring to his limbs, the devas. So the bona fide karma yogis, that bona fide, we mean those who actually follow Krishna's instructions on karma yoga and Bhagavad Gita, they don't worship those demigods separately. They worship them as parts and parcels of Lord Vishnu.
Pravý karma yogi neuctívá tyto polobohy jako oddělené části, ale jako součásti nejvyššího pána.
So they are devotees of Paramatma, super soul, but particularly his universal, his Vishvarup, universal form.
Jsou to tedy oddaní paramátmy, ale v podstatě se zaměřují na vesmírnou podobu.
And of course their aspiration is to receive material benedictions from him.
Ovšem jejich touha je dosáhnout hmotných výsledků nebo hmotných výsad.
Now on the higher platform of yoga, this karmic aspiration is given up.
Na vyšší úrovni jogy je tento karmický zájem o karmické výsledky se odřeknou.
Or maybe it's better to say it becomes much more subtle, much more refined.
Lépe je řečeno, že tyto karmické touhy se stávají mnohem subtilnější a rafinovanější.
Because the yogis who give up karma and just engage in dhyana or meditation, what are they interested in?
Yogis, kteří se vzdávají karmy a zaměstnávají se v dhyana, v meditaci, co je vlastně jejich cílem?
Who can tell us?
Kdo může říct, co je jejich cílem?
Mystic powers. Yes? Yes. So they're interested in astacity, 8 mystic powers. And if one has those mystic powers, then one can think of himself as an Ishvara also, a kind of controller over material nature, which is also what the karmis want too.
Chtějí získat aštašiny, mystické síly, a když je tedy získají, tak jsou jakýmsi Ishvarou nebo vládcem, což je vlastně stejné, co chtějí i karmiové.
Then the gyanis, who cultivate knowledge, which is found in the Vedas, they, of course, their ultimate goal is to become one with the impersonal Brahman, liberation.
Gyaniové, kteří kultivují poznání, jejich cílem je osvobození.
So this is also a feature of the Absolute Truth, the impersonal rays of Brahman, Brahmajyoti.
Osvobození v neosobních padlescích Brahmajyoti je také aspektem absolutní pravdy.
And then, of course, there are the bhaktas, the devotees, who worship and serve Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead.
Potom jsou baktové oddaní, kteří uctívají Bhagavana, osobnost božství.
So Srimad Bhagavatam acknowledges that there are these three paths, three Vedic paths, and these three aspects of the Absolute Truth.
Srimad Bhagavatam uznává, že jsou tři cesty a tři aspekty absolutní pravdy.
But Bhagavatam concludes, you see, because it is stated right in the beginning that Kaitava Dharma, all forms of cheating religion, are kicked out. So Bhagavatam concludes that no matter what your desire may be, you may have desires in your heart like the karmis or the yogis or the jnanis, or you may be simply a devotee. But the process for approaching the Absolute Truth is one. It should not be diverse. It should be one process, the best method.
Ačkoliv Srimad Bhagavatam na začátku se zmiňuje o tom, že veškeré druhy podvodných náboženství jsou odstraněny, jsou vypleněny z Bhagavatamu. Přesto závěrem Bhagavatamu je, že existuje jenom jedna metoda, ať už je někdo zajímá se o hmotný požitek, nebo chce poznání, nebo chce být oddaný, existuje jenom jedna cesta. Nesmíme se rozptylovat do jiných cest.
Bhagavatam presents this one path, which is actually the path of bhakti yoga, pure devotional service. Because Narada told Vyasadeva that unless you present the glories of the Lord in full and the proper process to approach and attain the Supreme Lord, then actually, although you are the great compiler of Vedic literature, you've compiled so many wonderful texts, still all your work will be imperfect. More or less, it will still be cheating. You'll still be cheating the people.
Bhagavatam tedy ustanovuje jenom jednu cestu, a to je, jak je známo, oddaná služba. A to je všechno na základě toho, že Narada Muni vysvětlil Vyasadevovi, že pokud nepředloží tady tu cestu oddané služby, tak veškeré věci, které popisuje ve svých textech, budou konec konců také jenom podvod a nedokonale budou podvodem.
So therefore you find Bhagavatam says, akama savakamo va, moksha kama udaradi tibrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. So by the condition of the heart, one may be classified as karmi, jnani or devotee.
Vzhledem k stavu našeho srdce můžeme být zařazeni do kategorie karmi, jnani nebo bhakti.
So someone may be akama, he has no material desires.
Někdo může být akama, což znamená, že nemá absolutně.
That means devotee. Or someone may be sarva karma. That means the heart is full of calm, full of lusty desires. So that means karmi. Someone may be moksha kama. He wants to be liberated. That means jnani. But Bhagavatam says, for all tibrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham puram, all three should simply take to bhakti yoga, devotional service, and worship yajeta purusham puram, worship the Supreme Person, the Supreme Absolute Truth, in whom is included both Brahman and Paramatma features.
Nejvyšší osobnost, jelikož v této nejvyšší osobnosti jsou zahrnuty oba ostatní aspekty absolutní pravdy, Brahman a Paramatma.
Then, if someone has a question, well, what is this bhakti yoga? What specifically does this mean? Bhagavatam answers that question too.
Někdo se může zeptat, co to je tato Srimad Bhagavatam, co to je bhakti yoga, jaký je specifický význam bhakti yogi. A Bhagavatam si na tuto otázku dává odpověď.
Etan nirvidyamananam ichitam akuto bayam Yoginam Nripa Nirnitam Harinamanu Sankirtam. This verse says, you may, again, it's the same point, you may be nirvidyamananam, you may have no desire, or you may be ichatam, you may be full of desires, or yoginam, you may be either jnana yogi or mystic yogi.
Stejná sloka říká, že můžeme být cokoliv, můžeme být bez jakékoliv materiální touhy, nebo můžeme mít plnohodných žádostí, anebo můžeme být situováni v nějaké józe.
But the akutobayam, the doubtless method, the fearless method, the method, in other words, the method of sure success for you, whatever is your classification, is devotional service. Which devotional service? Bhagavatam says, Harinamanu Sankirtan. Chant the holy name of the Lord. Engage in Sankirtan.
Bhagavatam říká, že bez ohledu na to, v jaké situaci se nacházíme, nejistější a nejúčelnějším způsobem, jak dosáhnout tedy dokonalosti, je skrze Harinamanu Sankirtana.
Devotional service, as taught in Srimad Bhagavatam, Sankirtan Dharma, is so wonderful because it accommodates everyone. In our Vaidhi Bhakti means the aspect of sadhana, which is the rules and regulations, a regulated life. You'll find in Vaidhi, there is karma and there is jnana included.
Cestě Vaidhya Bhakti, která je tedy cesta sadhany a pravidel a předpisů, a stavení pravidel a předpisů, se nachází karma i jnana.
So the karma and jnana of this process is different, is very distinct from the karma and jnana that is followed by non-devotees or materialistic persons.
Samozřejmě je velký rozdíl mezi karmou a jnanou v tomto procesu, který mají bhakti, než karma a jnana neodaný.
The karma and jnana presented in Srimad Bhagavatam is, as Jiva Goswami says, he gives a nice explanation. He says this kind of karma and jnana is bhakti matra kama. The goal is not sense gratification or liberation, although we may have these desires in our heart. But if you practice this bhakti yoga harinamanu sankirtan, if you practice this, then you'll get something much more than just sense gratification or liberation. You'll get bhakti matra kama, means you'll get pure devotional service.
Bhagavatam, jelikož provozováním této bhakti a této karmy a nebo jány dosáhneme nejvyššího cíle, což je odaná služba bhakti a ne smyslu vypožitek.
You'll get Krishna prema, pure love of Krishna.
Dosáhneme Krishna prema, čistou lásku.
So in our Vaidhi Bhakti process, as I said, there is karma. What is that karma? It is the panchatriki vidhi, the process of deity worship and the associated aspects of our personal life, cleanliness.
Čili v našem procesu Vaidhi Bhakti je samozřejmě taky karma zařazena. Aspektem této karmy je jistě například uctívání božstev a samozřejmě pravidelná pravidelná životospráva, očištění a tak dále.
Our regulated duties, our austerities,
naše pravidla a povinnosti, naše odříkání.
All of this is karma.
To vše je karma.
In the very basic definition, karma, what does it mean? What is basically, what does it mean? It means activity.
Všeobecně řečeno se jedná o karmu, jelikož význam slova karma je činnost.
Activity prescribed by the scriptures. But this is Krishna karma. You see, it is karma, it is work. for Krishna. And it does not dump one, it does not drop one into the mess of sense gratification. Although along the way, if one has desires for sense gratification, they can be satisfied. Day before yesterday, as part of our regulated observance of worship of Krishna, we observed Nrisinga Chaturdasi, worship. The worship of Lord Nrisingadeva on his appearance day. So there was the prescription of austerity, that one should fast until the evening. So when we fast, of course, we get hungry. And if one is inclined to sense gratification, then that fasting provokes thoughts of eating nice foods. So that when the breakfast feast is served, then one enjoys it with great relish. So that desire is actually engaged, the desire to eat nice foods. In this way it's engaged. But the wonderful effect is that when we take Krishna prasadam, Lord Nrisingadeva's prasadam, and we are purified of lust. This tasting Krishna prasad and relishing it is another way to glorify the Lord. And similarly, jnana. So jnana means a desire for knowledge. Knowledge that will liberate one from the entanglement of material existence.
Jnana znamená poznání, které nás osvobodí od zapletení hmotné existence.
So that we're getting in Vaidhi Bhakti in the form of these classes.
To v procesu Vaidhi Bhakti dostáváme v podobě těchto přednášek.
So we hear Bhagavatam, or apart from class, we can read Srimad Bhagavatam, and our mind is coming up with so many questions, complicated questions. And we get the answers for them. Bhagavatam contains all the answers. And answering these questions pacifies the rascal intelligence. You see, the rascal intelligence is holding a gun to the head, saying, "You answer this question, or I'm going to drag you back into sense gratification, because if this question can't be answered, it means that Krishna consciousness is not actually teaching the truth." Or I'll drag you back into sense gratification. So, but when we get the answers to these questions, then the intelligence is disarmed. You see, the pistol drops. Okay, all right. I accept.
Když o tom dostaneme odpověď na tuto otázku, tak je inteligence bezbraná, její pistole vypadne z ruky a řekne OK, tak přijímám.
Mm-hmm. So then when the intelligence is pacified, it can peacefully, happily engage in Krishna's service.
Když je inteligence usmířená, tak se může se vší spokojeností zaměstnat po dané zbytí.
So again we see the jnana process in Vaidhi Bhakti is also bhakti matrakam. It leads to devotional service, not to getting a big pumpkin-sized head full of speculations and aspiring to become one with God.
Vidíme znovu, že v procesu jnany v Vaidhi Bhakti se dostáváme do jiné situace než ti, kteří procesem bhakti jenom jnany teda hledají poznání, aby měli hlavu velkou jako víně.
So this process, bhakti yoga, it gradually refocuses our attention on Krishna's desire, Krishna's service.
Tato bhakti yoga znovu zaměřuje naše mysl na Krishnu.
Yes. We are troubled with our desires for either sense gratification or mental speculation, liberation.
My máme potíže s našimi touhami po smyslovém požitku, osvobození.
And this is simply because we are selfish.
A to je jenom z toho důvodu, že jsme sobečtí.
It's simply because we have ignored Krishna for so long. We have abandoned his service.
Je to z toho důvodu, že jsme ignorovali Krishnu tak dlouho a vzdali jsme si jeho služby.
Our Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu compares these desires for karma and jnana to two witches.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu srovnává tyto touhy po karmě a jnaně s dvěma čarodějnicemi.
Two witches in the heart. And they're pulling our heart one side, the other side. One witch is going, karma, come on. And the other one is going, jnana. And this way our heart is going, back and forth.
Jsou to jako dvě čarodějnice v našem srdce, které se přetahují, jedna přetahuje a kličí přitom karma, a druhá přetahuje a kličí přitom jana.
Sometimes we are interested in sense gratification, and then we become frustrated with that, and then we want liberation, release, and then after a time, again, sense gratification, and again, frustration, like this.
Se chýváme mezi smyslovým požitkem a osvobozením. Někdy chceme smyslový požitek a potom, když jsme zklamáni ze smyslového požitku, chceme osvobození a potom za čas chceme zase smyslový požitek a tak to je stále zpět.
So all this trouble is because we're not thinking of Krishna.
Všechny tyto potíže jsou způsobeny s tím, že nemyslíme na Krishnu.
We're foolishly thinking ourselves as being separate from Krishna, independent from Krishna. And thus, our own insignificant and foolish desires have become all important to us. But if we take up this process of devotional service, Hari Nama, New Sankirtan, the Sankirtan movement, then our desires are refocused on another object, Krishna.
Pokud se však chopíme tohoto postupu Harinama de Sankirtan, Kirtanam, tak se naše myšlenky znovu zaměří na Krishnu.
And so that gradually we learn, we understand, we are convinced that my happiness means only one thing, to give Krishna happiness. That's the only way I will ever become happy.
Postupně dojdeme k závěru, že jediný způsob, jak můžu být šťastný, když učiním Krishnu šťastným.
Now, Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, he explains what is the best way to make him happy.
Bhagavad Gita, Pán Krishna vysvětluje, jaký je nejlepší způsob, jak
Ya idam paramam guyam mad bhakteshu obidhayasi. He said the best way to please me is to preach this message of Bhagavad Gita, this message of Krishna consciousness that I am teaching today to Arjuna. Na chatasmad manusheshu kushchid mam priyatatma. So no, there is no one who is more dear to me than the preacher. When we enter the Sankirtan movement, we must preach, that is the activity. And as we've been explaining, perhaps as we're engaging in this devotional service, we still have desires, karma, jnana, lurking in our heart. And perhaps our main interest, even though externally we're doing the devotional service, perhaps internally our main interest is still these desires. But the wonderful thing is that we are engaging in the activity, the preaching, which Krishna says will make us most dear to Him. So when a living entity becomes most dear, when he enters this category of most dear, which means Sankirtan devotee, when he becomes a Sankirtan devotee and enters and is accepted by Krishna as his most dear servant, then Krishna will not tolerate that this devotee ends up in the impersonal Brahman or simply is absorbed in Paramatma realization. Paramatma. Krishna is thinking, this devotee has rendered such nice service to me. Now I have to personally take care of him.
Krishna si myslí, tento odaný učinil tolik velice dobré služby pro mě, já se o něj musím postarat.
I don't know what I can give him for his service. The liberation in Brahman is not enough, and mystic powers which come from Paramatma realization are not enough.
Nevím, jak se mu můžu odvědčit. Osvobození neosobním brahmanu není dostatečné a mystické síly jogy také nejsou dostatečné. Musím, jak se odvědčit.
You see, Prabhupada always said, Krishna is not a miser.
Prabhupada vždycky říkal, Krishna není nějaký lakomec.
If you render nice service to him, then he becomes so grateful. He wants to give a proper reward, a proper return.
Když mu sloužíme, Krishna je nám velice vděčný a chce nám za naši službu dát náležitou odměnu.
So for this service, Sankirtan, preaching, Krishna thinks I can only give myself.
Za tuto službu, Sankirtan, Krishna má jenom jednu alternativu, že se dát sám.
There's nothing else. I looked in all my potencies and there's nothing appropriate. So I will just have to give myself to this devotee.
Nic není, co bych věděl, o čem bych věděl, v mých silách, čím bych se mohl odličit mému odanému. Čili musím dát sám sebe.
So this is what is so wonderful, that even though our own desires may be unworthy, Krishna is so grateful to those who engage in the Sankirtan mission that he doesn't care about that. Actually, he helps from within the heart to rid us of these desires.
Krishna
Srinvatam Svataka Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. Someone who engages in kirtan, which is the best of all pious activities, then Hridayantasto Yabhadrani Vidunoti Suhritsatam. Then all dirty things, these desires for karam jnana, they are cleansed from the heart. And when the heart becomes completely purified, then Lord Krishna very kindly, very mercifully reveals himself to his devotee, and he smiles and says, "Isn't this what you always wanted?" Isn't this the real object of your desire? My own transcendental name, form, qualities, activities. And then the devotee, for instance, we see how Dhruva Maharaj, he became ashamed. He became so ashamed of himself, thinking, for so long, I like a fool, I was maintaining these material desires. Now I can see what is real happiness. So, this is what distinguishes the Bhagavatam process of God realization from the Vedic process. If one is following the three Vedas only, of course, another point is we can't even do that because we're malechas. But if someone is following the three Vedas to satisfy his desires, then yes, he might end up in the impersonal Brahman, or he might end up having the darshan of Lord Paramatma in trance, but in that trance there are no activities of service.
Ano, je možné, že při masturbování ved, ačkoliv v dnešní době, protože jsme všichni mlečové, to je zcela vyloučeno, je možné, že přesto můžeme dosáhnout dokonalosti uskutečnění neosobního brahmánu nebo paramatmy na duše.
But actually these goals are they're actually unfortunate.
Tyto cíle jsou ovšem velice neblahé cíle, nejsou to dobré cíle.
It's compared to there's a story of a man who was pulling a barge. He was always pulling barge in the canal. And the king was pleased with him because the king was told that this man has been pulling the barge in this canal for 25 years every day, rendering such good service to the kingdom.
Jedna historka popisuje jednoho člověka, který tahal lodě skrze průliv a 25 let tak činil a tahal lodě skrze průliv a král s nimi velmi spokojen.
So the king went personally to see this man, and the man was very happy to see the king bow down, and then the king said, "So I'm pleased with your many years of service. Now you just tell me, what do you want? I will give you any reward." And the man replied, "Well, Your Majesty, perhaps you could arrange it. There's some pillows, a line of pillows be put on this path that I always walk when I pull the barge. And that way, I won't have to step on any stones or thorns. My path will be very soft and comfortable.
Byl bych velmi rád, kdyby si mohl vyslat celou tu cestu, po které chodím každý den krásně po polštáře, abych necítil kamínky a nerovnost toho terénu, abych prostě mohl lépe chodit.
So the king, he granted this desire, but the king was thinking, now I see why this man only pulls barge, he's a fool.
Vážený král,
he could have asked me for half of my kingdom. I would have given it. But he just wants pillows so that he can go on performing this work, this ignorant work, just in a slightly more comfortable position. So you see, the Vedic process, because it is not Sankirtan, it does not attract the Lord to interfere with our desires. If one follows the Vedic process, then he's worshipping the Lord and the Lord reciprocates, but the Lord will give that person what he wants. All right, you want sense gratification, take it. You want liberation, take that. You want my darshan as Paramatma, take that. But if we engage in Sankirtan, then we become most dear to
Krishna.
And then if we have some desire for sense gratification or liberation, Krishna says, no, no. I'm going to really help you. I'm going to take these desires out of your heart. So that you can simply love me. And when the devotee tastes this love of Godhead, then, yes, as we said, like Dhruva Maharaj, she becomes very ashamed. How could I have been so stupid? So therefore, we can all consider ourselves most fortunate. We should be so thankful to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his glorious disciplic succession, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada's representatives, for picking us up out of the filth of the material world and engaging us in this perfectional path of pure devotional service, which actually means Sankirtan. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Are there any questions? No, but the non-devotees are also ultimately devotees.
But the
That, you see, Lord Krishna has said this. There's a wonderful lesson to be understood here about the relationship between what Krishna has taught in Bhagavad Gita and what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to reveal as the proper understanding of Bhagavad Gita. Lord, yes, as you've said, Lord Krishna said, for one who teaches this message to the devotees, then devotional service is guaranteed and he becomes most dear to me. He's made this statement at the beginning of Kali Yuga, 5,000 years ago. So now, 5,000 years later, where are the devotees? You see, if you want to do this, preach Bhagavad Gita, where are the devotees? You see, Srila Prabhupada said there were 600 editions of Bhagavad Gita in the world before he presented Bhagavad Gita as it is. Bhagavad Gita was being presented, but actually it was being presented by non-devotees, two non-devotees. So this is like a paradox, you see? But Srila Prabhupada broke through this paradox by presenting Bhagavad Gita as it is, and this as it is means as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught it. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said, Nitya Siddha Krishna Premi Sadyo Kabunai Shravanada Sudachite Korya Udai, that everyone is Krishna Bhakta. Everyone is Nitya Siddha in their own constitutional position. Everyone is an eternally perfect Krishna Premi, lover of Krishna. And to make this point very clear, he said, Sadyo Kabunai. He said, that is what they are. It is not that that is what they can be if something else is added to them, but that is what they are. Period. Simply, we have to wake up to this fact. And how is that done? Shravanadi, by hearing. So, but that hearing is, of course, not hearing mundane sound. So, if one presents Bhagavad Gita, but not in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whom Srila Prabhupada declared is Krishna, who came to show how to practice Bhagavad Gita. Krishna taught Bhagavad Gita. Lord Chaitanya came to show us what Krishna was saying, so we could see exactly what it means. So if one is trying to present Bhagavad Gita, but not as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has shown, then actually, the vibration he's presenting is not Bhagavad Gita, it's just a mundane sound.
Mm-hmm. nejsou povolaní a jejich prezentace Bhagavad Gita je naprosto materiální vibrací.
So when Krishna says ya idam paramam guyam mad bhakteshu bidhasati, that he's speaking of that person who presents this confidential knowledge to the devotees, then he actually means this confidential knowledge that all living entities are devotees.
Přednáší toto důvěrné poznání mým oddaným. Toto důvěrné poznání vlastně je poznání o tom, že všichni jsou oddaní Pánu.
So, when Bhagavad Gita is taught in this way, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is revealed, then it is actually the Bhagavad Gita. It is actually Krishna himself, who enters the heart of the sleeping soul through the ears. So, Shravanari Shuddhi Chitti Kore Udoy. So, Krishna enters through the ears, purifies the heart, Shuddhi Chitti, purifies the consciousness, Kore Udoy. And then this living entity realizes, oh, I'm a devotee of Krishna. Jai. So this is what Prabhupada did. Prabhupada came to a spiritual desert, the Western world, and preached Bhagavad Gita as it is, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has shown the meaning. And the devotees came forth. Devotees suddenly appeared out of the walls and out of the floors and filled up the temple.
Tak kázal Bhagavad Gita taková, jaká je, a najednou se oddaní objevovali ze všech poutů, se vynořovali oddaní, že? Ještě Prabhupád prezentoval Bhagavad Gita taková, jaká je.
This question is very important. It's a very important question he has asked. And it's very important that we understand the correct answer.
Otázka, kterou se Jilkata zeptal, je velice závažná a důležitá. A je také velmi důležité, abychom pochopili odpověď na tuto otázku.
Prabhupada declared in a lecture, very, very profound point. He said that the Bhagavad Gita is meant to destroy. When you, Prabhupada explained the meaning of Bhagavad Gita in this way, that it is meant to destroy the conception of, as Prabhupada said, my man, your man, or my party, your party.
Zanikly veškeré představy o mé nebo tvé straně nebo jeho straně.
Arjuna in the beginning didn't want to fight. Why? Because he's thinking, that's my family, that's my teacher. Krishna said, kill them all.
Na začátku Bhagavad Gita odmítal Arjuna bojovat, protože namítal, že na druhé straně jsou jeho učitelé, jeho příbuzní, ale Krishna mu řekl, zabije všechny.
What Krishna was saying was, is that rid yourself of this conception that you belong to this group or that group.
Co vlastně Krishna tím mínil, bylo, aby se Arjuna zbavil veškeré stranosti, nebo prostě tu stranickou, nebo tohle to je jeho skupina, jiná skupina, aby se zbavil těch konceptů.
No, you belong to me.
Jsi mým majetkem.
Everyone here belongs to me.
Všichni jsou.
And I am telling you all what to do. I am telling you to fight Arjuna, and I am telling Grandfather Bhishma and Drona and Duryodhana and everyone else on that side to die. Because I am the Supreme Lord. And all of you have to surrender to me. So even this conception, even this conception that we are devotees and they are non-devotees, so therefore we have to stay away from them and we are better than this and that. Actually, this idea is maya, and Bhagavad Gita is meant to smash it. Because in actual fact, there is no such opposition. Everybody is Krishna's. And everybody must do what Krishna says. So there are some who are known as Krishna's devotees. Now Krishna is telling him, you go out and preach to those persons who are in illusion. They are also mine. You just go wake them up. If they don't wake up, don't worry, I'll take care of them. They'll go to hell. And if they do wake up, then they will join you and chant and dance in ecstasy. But all of you belong to me. Don't try to manufacture some artificial distinction with you at the center. That we are this caste, we are this group, they are that caste, they cannot join our group. So that is actually the proper understanding of Bhagavad Gita. This conception that Bhagavad, if we think that, oh, we are the devotees, so we speak Bhagavad Gita only among ourselves. We never let the outside people hear it, because then it will be polluted. This has nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. This is mundane casteism, which actually Bhagavad Gita is meant to smash. So you want to preach to the devotees and go out and find them. And if you preach purely, they will come to you. Srila Prabhupada, he said very simply, most wonderful statement. He said, how is it that I have left India, gone around the world, and now I have so many followers? I am speaking only Bhagavad Gita, and so many wealthy boys and girls have surrendered to me, become my disciple, and are serving Krishna. Prabhupada said, the answer is because I am not saying one thing and doing something else. I am presenting Bhagavad Gita as it is. So one who preaches this pure message, then he awakens the devotees. This is so wonderful. The devotees themselves come to him. Yes, I want to serve Krishna. I've been waiting, sleeping for so long, waiting for someone to come and tell me to serve Krishna.
otázku, jaký je rozdíl mezi čtyřramenou a desetiramenou podobou Nisringadevi.
Well, when Lord Nisringadev first appeared from the pillar in great anger, that's when his anger was most fierce. He was roaring and the whole universe was shaking. There was an earthquake in every planetary system when he appeared. So at that time, just appearing, he was showing his ten-armed form. In every hand, they were all different weapons.
Poté, co se Nisringadev tedy zjevil v pilíře, bezprostředně poté se celý vesmír třásl jako při obrovském zemětřesení, všechny planety se třásly a v tom okamžiku tedy se svý Nisringadev zjevil s podobou z deseti paženy, který přijímal různé zbraně.
That is a form of Lord Nisringadev that is worshipped in Shridham Mayapur.
To je podoba Nisringadevi, která je uctívána.
Shtamba Nisringa, just when he bursts from the shtamba or pillar.
Shtamba Nisringa, což je podoba Nisringadevi, bezprostředně po té, co se jako projeví z toho pilíře.
That is his most fearsome form. Because at that time, the anger is totally unfocused. He just burst out of the pillar and he's blazing his fury in all directions. Then, some moments later, his eyes settled upon Hiranyakashipu, and then the anger was focused, and then he showed four arms.
A poté se jeho oči upřou na Hiranyakashipu a jeho soustředění, teda se soustředí na Hiranyakashipu a v tom okamžiku tedy už má jenom čtyři paže.
So in his four-armed form, he fought with Lord Nisringadev, and using two of his forearms, he bifurcated his body and killed him. Then when the soldiers attacked, the army of Hiranyakashipu attacked, then Nisringadev showed a form of thousands of arms because there were thousands of soldiers coming.
Hiranyakashipu se na něj vrhli všichni vojáci Hiranyakashipu a Nisringadev manifestoval svou podobu s tisícemi paženy, kterými bojoval se všemi těmi vojáky.
And after all the demons were subdued and it was time to bless his devotee, then again he resumed his four-armed form.
Když porazil všechny démony, znovu tedy, když bylo všechno tedy ukončeno, tak znovu tedy dostal svou se manifestoval v podobě.
So, Srila Prabhupada comments that the Lord's four-armed form is meant for both destroying the demons and blessing the devotees. Two of the four have the chakra and the mace, and that's for smashing and cutting up the demons. The other two hands have the lotus and the conch shell, which are meant for blessing the devotees. So, in his four-armed form, with two hands, two of those four hands, he killed Nisringadev. And then again in his four-armed form, he was blessing Sri Prahlad Maharaj, embracing him, patting his head.
Prabhupada vysvětluje, že podoba Nisringadevi, podoba pána s čtyřmi paženy, je určena pro blaho obou odaných i neodaných. Například, když zabil Hiranyakashipu Nisringadeva, tak ho zabil dvěma rukama. Krishna, Vishnu má tedy ve dvou pažích lasturu a proto se vítězství mezi žehná svým odaným a potom má kij a disk, kterými trestá neudané. Když tedy měl Prahlada Maharaja na svém kyně, tak ho s těmi dvěma rukami laskal. Že?
Does that answer your question? To what? I didn't hear the end. Well, there is a prayer in the fifth canto to Lord Nrisimhadev, in which a devotee is asking Lord Nrisimhadev to use his Vajranaka, his lightning bolt claws, to remove, to pierce and remove the karmic desires from the heart of the devotee. So the answer is yes. These desires are described in that prayer as being demon-like. Similarly, in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna addressed Krishna as Madhusudana, the killer of the Madhu demon, because he was praying to the Lord that he would slay the demon of his doubt. Right. Yes?
There was one more unanswered question some time ago. We wanted to ask you. We read in verse the lotus sprouted from Vishnu. It's shining like hundreds of suns.
Yes.
But then Brahma was born on top of it and he saw just darkness. He couldn't see anything.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, this lotus is shining with the effulgence, the same effulgence as Lord Vishnu. Because it is expanding from Lord Vishnu's body. Now that effulgence is spiritual. When the lotus opens, you see, the petals of the lotus are actually the planetary systems of the universe. So, as the lotus opens, then the gross features of the material universe are manifest. And then sitting within the lotus is Brahma, the first being within the universe. And he is in ignorance. He is only able to see this gross cosmic manifestation around him. So his eyes are covered. He cannot see the spiritual nature. He cannot see this brilliant effulgence of the Lord's own body. In a purport in Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada says that this world, this material world as we are experiencing right now, is actually all suspended within the rays of the Brahma Jyoti. But we're not seeing these rays. We're only seeing the gross external manifestation of things. Because we are spiritually blind. So also was Brahma. But when we go on reading about Brahma's appearance on the lotus, we find how he obtained his spiritual sight. Then he saw the Lord. And he was empowered by the Lord's effulgence, the Brahmana Tejas. It was the Lord's effulgence which entered into Brahma and became his very power to create. That's why, and that this is why the name of the demigod, the four-headed demigod, is Brahma. It resembles Brahman. It's actually a form of Brahman. Because he becomes Brahma, the creator, by the power of Krishna's effulgence, the Brahman or Brahma Jyoti. Okay. Jai. So let us stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.